Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Under the Moon with Joni Ross and Pat McHugh. Let's start the show with a song perfect for the occasion.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found, leading from your windowpane to a place behind the sun. Just a step beyond.
That was Doris Day. I think she sounds great on that one. Hi, everyone. This is Joni Ross, astrologer. This is June 1st, 2013, and you're listening to Under the Moon, a weekly radio show celebrating diversity and other astro-musing adventures. Welcome from Pat McHugh and myself in our discussion. Please call in and participate. You can give your opinion, and then we can look at your Neptune, because we're going to be talking about Neptune today. And the call-in number is 213-816-0357. Before we start talking about Neptune, and the reason that I decided I wanted to talk about it was because the moon is in Pisces, and Neptune is in Pisces, and I thought it'd be a good time for us to look at the Neptunian energy in our charts. astrology addresses so many important things, such as how individuals, based on their birth moment, relate to the world and to their inner self. And there's many ways to use astrology to understand someone, but there's also many ways for us to understand ourselves. So I'm hoping that through the dialogue that we have, that everyone can start to understand that even though your birth chart is static, it's a cosmic picture of you when you first came out of the womb and looked up at the cosmos. This was an energetic intention, a synchronistic moment with other energies that you could relate to from that moment on. As we go, we're here to grow, and we're here to learn about ourselves and our inner selves. And consultations are helpful in helping us find a balance and a higher perspective and insight and how to take advantage of opportunities that present themselves. So you can find information on my website, and I'll tell you now, and Pat will also tell you, if you go to JoaniRossAstrologer.com, sign up for the moon messages and ask questions. Maybe this is a good time to have a reading. So we're in the fourth quarter of the moon cycle, and next week we're going to have a new moon in Gemini, which we will be talking about all week long in the moon messages. You know, last week we talked about Jupiter and Mercury, and we can still talk about that if you like, but I thought it would be a great time to talk about Neptune. Right now, Neptune's in Pisces, and it entered Pisces in 2011, and it will be there until 2025. And every month, the moon highlights Neptune while the moon is in Pisces, reminding us that this consciousness, a creative power of the unconscious, a part of life where we feel unconditional love and hope, and an energy that is an ultimate reality that we are eternally part of, and a realization that facades, silly, and also fun. So connecting to the creative energy of Neptune is understanding that there is a greater self that in no way diminishes the individuality. It's a frequency of perception, an attunement to the essence of truth. So tune in today and trust you can hear your own inner voice. It's also a time to place your order with the universe. Don't forget to let go of whatever has been sapping your joy. So things like fear, victimization, resentment, discouragement, hopelessness, these are all things that block our being able to enter into this understanding of our own inner self, higher self, deepest self. So if we can get out of that tunnel of fear, we can create the life we dream of having, based on our greater intention. So I know Pat would like to talk a little bit about Neptune. So hi, Pat.
Hey, Joni. Glad to be here.
Me too. Glad to hear you. What did you think of Doris Day?
Oh, my God. That's a beautiful rendition, and one I had not heard until you played it.
Well, I love the verse of the song, so I wanted to have her. I wanted to play that recording. She sounds great. She sounds good. Okay, so tell us about Neptune. Of course, Neptune rules music. So, romance.
That was a lovely choice. Mm-hmm. well, Neptune rules Pisces, and where it's been transiting since 2011 and where it's going to remain until 2025. The last time Neptune was in Pisces was in 1848. And since Neptune takes 165 years to revolve around the sun, none of us will experience a Neptune return like we have a Saturn return. But Neptune is actually having its first return to its own sign, Pisces, since it was discovered. And I think that's a big deal. One of the things that was happening the last time Neptune was in its own sign was the birth of the spiritualist movement that was led by the famed theosophist Helena Blavatsky. The followers of the spiritual movement believed that spirits could communicate with the series of knocks. And Neptune in Pisces seeks a direct experience of the universal, and this movement gained a lot of momentum while Neptune was in Pisces. And this is actually one of the topics we would like to discuss today. With Neptune in Pisces again, how do you think people are seeking a direct experience of the universal?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's so interesting because that became a very popular movement, and still exists today. The ability to cross a realm and talk to someone who has passed, and it's a very interesting phenomenon people are curious about. But right now, I was trying to find out. I know there's people that do this. They were trying to find these people that tell you how many times a word is said on the internet. And if anybody knows the name of the group that does that, they study the words in the internet to see what's actually going to happen based on what people are thinking about and putting out there. And I wanted to know how many times that you could see the word consciousness, because it just seems to me that that's what people are talking about in their regular understanding of life, that there's a higher consciousness. It's not just something religious, but actually an energy they can perceive within themselves. And I think that the way we see everything is going to change because of the way we're understanding that there's no separation between the spiritual and the reality. It's all one thing. So if anybody has some comment or question about that, I see people are out doing things. So we don't have any callers yet. So let's go on and talk a little bit more about Neptune. And
okay. Since there will be people calling in, we want to talk about the definition of an astrological signature. And in the case of Neptune, if your sun, moon, or ascendant is in Pisces, or if Neptune conjuncts any of your planets, but especially the sun or the moon, you would have a Neptunian signature. Neptune rules the 12th house, so if you have several planets in the 12th house, especially a luminary, the sun or the moon, you'll have the planet Neptune effect, or we could call you Neptunian. We all have Neptune in our charts. Neptune is a generational indicator, as because Neptune spends such a long time in each sign, everyone who's born during that time shares the same Neptune sign. And what makes you have a strong Neptune? If you work in a Neptunian career or have a Neptunian personality, these are all indicators of a prominent Neptune. Neptune's associated with intuition and spiritual enlightenment, creativity, the feet, dreams, merging with the source. Some Neptunian careers are artist, sailor, filmmaker, healers, spiritual seekers, escapists who enjoy doing drugs or drinking alcohol, sanitarium workers, possibly jailers, ghostwriters, psychics, podiatrists, welfare and social workers, poets, and aromatherapists. It's a very good list.
It can go on and on and on.
It can, actually. It's a very 12th house list. It's a very good list.
But I think the most important thing that makes you Neptunian is that just plain old mundane reality just isn't enough. In fact, because people that have a strong Neptune are so tuned in with this, I call it the well-oiled portal door to the other side. They have a keen sense that there's more, that they are more. Or maybe their orientation is that they're more, but they sense there's something that really communicates or that really they can sense. And I think that people that, you know, they say a lot of astrologers are Neptunian. Well, my Neptune is conjunct my sun, or together my sun, and I definitely would say I'm one of those people. But, you know, Uranus and Neptune are really the two planets that work together in terms of our collective, our ideas as a society of which way we're going, and also our connection to this storehouse of information that's called the collective unconscious by Jung. And people that have an opening there and are really connected tend to be in the creative fields or the helping and healing fields, or, you know, because they are capable of understanding that there's a universal energy that's in everyone. So they're empathetic and compassionate, or also a bit of a channel. People call it a muse, but I see it as a channel. What do you think, Pat?
I would say that as well. I would say that you'd have to be a channel to.
Well, I think that's the whole energy of Neptune, is that it is a way of living. It's a rich resource of energy that has to do with all creativity that ever was. So that talent is something that you have an impetus to try something and you put the effort in and you master it on some level. But it really is that you're tapping into just creative force that's all around us all the time. And then people that maybe they start out creative, doing art, music, they notice that by really getting in the zone, I know a lot of painters that have their rituals, how they get in the zone. What happens is you're listening to some deeper pull to create in a certain way, but you're also connecting to a knowing of the self. And this is the greater self that is beyond this incarnation or this momentary, ordinary sense of your life. Rather, what's behind everything? What's your evolutionary pattern? What are you trying to discover? What is it that you have to offer? How can you help? Because to me, that's happiness, when you feel like you really connect to another human being and you can see them happier because you've helped them. It's such a beautiful feeling. And there really is no vacuum. Everything is, the more you understand, the more you realize everything's connected. Even yourself to your own negativity. There's no reason to disassociate from it. It's just a matter of rebalancing and understanding that this is a challenge so that you can actually develop and inspire others and accomplish something greater because you had challenges. And as I mentioned before, I think the challenge of fear, paranoia, you know, there's a lot of bad press astrologically about Neptune because...
Yes.
Space, what are they? One time my friend said, I thought you were a do-gooder, but you're really a space cadet. And I went, I can understand why you think that. Actually, I'm having a Neptunian day today where I just wanted to be free-form. I'm not really worrying about it. And I see we have a lot of people in the chat room. If you guys want to call in, I'm planning to get more focused and look at people's charts in terms of their Neptunian signatures. So if you would like that, I'd be happy to allow everyone to hear how we can look at these things. Anyway, back to this tunnel of the reaction to what's greater than you, whatever that means, or your own connection to all there is, or your sense that, well, if there's such a greatness out there, maybe I'm just insignificant because I'm just me. Well, your ego is not that significant, but you are so significant. And that out there is exactly what is in you, which is another reason why astrology makes so much sense to me, because energy is just different vibrational forces affecting each other. And why not? Why aren't we affected by the same magnetic pulls as the planets? Makes so much sense. Just makes it's logical in my mind. So I wanted to talk about the people that tend to be very... Now, let's say you are Pisces rising. So I would say you're already in, or you're a Pisces, as you are, Pat McHugh.
Yes.
I'm very lovely. And Pisces, you know, I think if someone is has a sun sign in Pisces, it's very visible. Sometimes the moon, too, but the sun is very visible. Most Pisces that I've met really have a flair. They really have style. They really have a sense of how things work. And if you're Venus in Pisces, if you have Venus in Pisces, absolutely, that you'll see that you're just sort of gifted in things like creating an image or an impression or a symmetry or color. Also smells. I think Neptunians really have a good snout. They can smell all kinds of different nuances. But yes, this is a great sensitivity, but also a lot of people that are Neptunian are inner world people. They're not as outgoing. Do you feel that you're a little less outgoing than your impulses are in general?
Yes, I would say yes. I don't know if people would agree with that, people who know me, but I would say yes.
Engaged in a conversation, I mean, of course, your moon is in Gemini, so you're a very friendly person. But there's and of course, Capricorn rising, so you're a bit understated in terms of how delightful you are. But I think that's what people would say about you, that you're just very appealing as a person. And my own mother's a Pisces, and she's a very glamorous woman. And I think Pisces is also a kind of romance. It's spiritual, but also can manifest in a romantic way. I don't know a Pisces that doesn't really like their shoe shopping either. Are you a shoe girl, Pat?
Guilty.
Guilty
is charged.
Yeah, and shoes. I mean, that is one thing. When I was young and I wanted to wear really high heels, I couldn't find any. Now that Neptune is in Pisces, it's like...
They're everywhere.
6 inches is like what you walk.
Everywhere.
You don't even wear sneakers anymore in New York, right? It's just high
Not
heels.
Not at all. I don't know how anybody totters around in those things.
But they do it because it's so much fun to wear that kind of shoe for some people. Of course, anyone who doesn't want to wear them, don't wear them. But I think it's interesting that that's a phenomena. But so people tend to tune in, and I think that's natural for them because tuning in is where they're going to get this connection to their deeper self. The truth, the wisdom within their own life. Okay. I'm just wondering, there's so many people in the chat room, if anyone is going to come on and give me, or you can type, if you like, your birth information. I'll look at some of these Neptunian signatures. Okay. So, what else did we want to talk about? The other thing, this is what I want to talk about. The idea that if you're very Neptunian, that you really, in order to be happy, I think, you have to connect with this consciousness that is in everything, this greater self, in order to feel whole and like you're not missing something. you know, just dealing with the day-to-day life and ignoring this whole seeking or this understanding of what's possible or feeling isolated from it. It's a kind of an unhappiness to feel, you know, we all have this urge to merge and an urge to separate. But I think that the happiness is in the balance and understanding that you really never separate. You just feel separated. For Neptunians, they need to understand, no, you're not separated. In fact, you can sort of change your frequency anytime you want to see if that's true or not. I mean, doing spiritual practice, journaling, these are all things that can help. I mean, for some people, just drawing, writing, listening. I mean, listening is so much a part of Neptune because I used to call it Neptunian guides. I would hear when I would be doing readings, especially I've done a lot of tarot readings, and I could kind of feel where the talking was coming from, whether it was on the right side or the left side. So, you know, everybody knows that, I don't know if everybody knows, excuse me, but the right side of your brain is really the channel that opens. So, anyway, I want to say the phone number. Pat, the phone number is what?
It's 213-816-0357 if you want to
Great.
Call in.
Yes, so please give us a call so we can look at your... Actually, I'm going to look at mine. Or I can look at yours, Pat. What do you prefer?
As you wish.
And
I'm very happy with my Neptune.
Well, yeah. Well, let's say here we are at McHugh. So what were the astrological signatures again? Being a Sun in Pisces is definitely any planets in the 12th house. Then when the planets are in the 12th house, which is the natural house of Neptune, there's a lot of energy on the spiritual level, but you have to tap into it. It's also Neptune's also the dream state where you're in the unconscious, subconscious dream state. Dreaming. And a lot of people with planets in the 12th have very vivid dreams.
Huh.
Technicolor. That's an old word too, isn't it?
A bit, yes. But it works. It's one I would use.
Great. I'm wondering, okay, so... You also have Pisces ruling the house where the sun is, the third house, which has to do with the way you communicate, and with Jupiter in there. Now, Jupiter was the old ruler of Pisces, which means it's in a very great position, a comfortable position. And this gives you a great imagination, which you do have. And actually, I think you have a very unique and interesting aesthetic. Do you get complimented a lot by your wardrobe?
I do, yes, but not in a conventional way.
The compliments aren't conventional, or the...
The compliments are not conventional.
Like, what do they say?
Most people ask me if I'm European. I think it's fabulous, but
yeah,
I think that's an extraordinary compliment, but some people might not.
It is, because It gives you your own uniqueness and a way to express a sophistication. Like you're obviously creating this image, even though it's just your taste. So, and also in terms of taste, Neptune is the higher octave of Venus. So having Jupiter in your third house and, where's your chart again? And Venus in the first house, in the sign of Capricorn, which is the one thing I noticed. You know, one of the things I noticed all those years meeting you to do readings and things like this, always you had fabulous coats. And you always looked very handsome in addition to pretty. So, you know, I really feel like that Venus in Capricorn is tailored in some way. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I would totally agree with you on that.
Because you're not a conservative person, but your clothes are tailored in this very crisp and clear design. Not very showy, but really interesting. And also, I would say, what your pursuits, you know, studying astrology so many years and being interested in consciousness as much as you do. I know you do spiritual practice and yoga, right?
Yes.
So I would say you're Jupiter in the third, and obviously wanting to come on here and do a radio show, it's another way to express the Neptunian message. Let's just be who we are and question things and wait for the answers, like we're waiting for our callers, whoever would like to get on and talk with us. We want to talk about people's Neptunes. And the other thing that I would say is very enhancing to your Neptune signature is the trine, which is a very harmonious flow of energy because they're both water elements from your Neptune to your sun. Sometimes trines have a pitfall where there's not necessarily an ambition, but the energy is really available. So this is a way of accepting the Neptunian energy in your life. And since it is in the 11th house, you know, not that you're yelling out in the streets, but you're very much an activist in your own way, aren't you?
Yes. Absolutely. And yes, I'm not out on the streets, but I am very much.
I know. You also have Chiron conjunct your sun within 1 degree. It's actually a half a degree. So it's a very tight conjunction with Chiron, which is the wounded healer in the sign of Pisces. You know, very kind, very encouraging person. Okay. Let's talk about someone a little more dramatically a different direction. Let's talk about my chart. I hope somebody called. I really don't want to talk about my chart as much as listen to what people have to say about the... Oh, we have lots. Okay. Thank you. Hi, this is Joni, and you're on the air.
Hi, Joni. This is Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. Oh, Cheryl, we spoke to you last week.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, hi. So, did you want to give us your birth information so we can look for Neptune, or did you want to make a comment?
Oh, I'll give you my birthday. You can tell me what's going on in my life, what I have to look forward to. Okay, my birthday is August 29th. 1956.
56? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what time you're born?
I'm a Virgo.
Do you know what time you were born? What time of day?
Oh, time. I thought you said sun. Time is 10:32 in the morning.
Okay. And where were you born?
Connecticut.
What part?
It's Harford County.
The town?
Bristol.
Bristol, okay. Thank you. Okay.
10:32 a.m. Bristol.
Yeah. I have that. Okay, I'm just... Okay. Here we go. Okay, so Cheryl, you have Neptune in Neptune's own house, which is a very strong placement for it. Are you someone who needs to get a good lot of sleep sometimes?
Sometimes I do, yes. I'm a napper. Does that mean
I think that it's a very important place for you to develop is meditation, sleeping, napping, letting yourself really tap into your fantasy and your spiritual energy and all that. When you were born, as many, 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 many years, Neptune and Pluto were in a sextile, so they were working together. So not all those dreams are pleasant, but important. And let's see, Moon in Gemini. Yeah, you're very mercurial because Mercury rules your sun and your moon. So have you had a lot? Do you know a lot about Mercury in retrograde?
No, I don't know a lot about this stuff. You're talking very little. Not, I'm a novice. I know I'm Virgo, read the horoscope in the newspaper sometimes, and... You know, I know that I get a, someone did a chart on me, you go online, and I had a lot of things in the same house, or all the arrows were like on, more on one side than the other, or something like that. It was kind of odd.
Well, yeah, everyone's chart is a little different shaped, and more of your planets are on the side of individuation than actual relationships, meaning especially you have a very strong house of career, Pluto, Sun, Jupiter, all together. At that time, there was also the Jupiter and Pluto were your Sun is right in the middle there. So that's an interesting energy to have. What is it you do?
Well, I've done a couple different things. I'm in my, I'm 56 years old. I was a legal secretary, and then I was an at-home mom for a while. Then I started my own business, and I did third-party recruiting, and then I had some medical issues, and that kind of fell by the wayside. And so presently, you know, I'm not really doing anything. Just the thought of starting a business or starting over, it's just like I just groan. So I'm not doing that right
okay.
now. I had a medical issues and anyway.
Well, I hope that that's okay. You have also Mars in the sign of Pisces. So that's another Neptunian signature. Okay, so I think that motivation or actually getting it going is something you have to activate in advance, meaning you have to picture yourself. I don't know if you have an idea of what you want to do. You said, what's going on in my life? You wanted me to tell you, but what is it that you're looking to figure out? What is it that
You know, I'm really not. I'm not motivated like that anymore.
Okay.
I used to have a big, my head was big in the stars and like so ambitious. I have two boys, and my son is so much like me. He thinks he's going to be the next Donald Trump. I mean, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
and I
yeah.
was And I was a costume designer. I used to want to do fashion design. I was going to be the next Edith Head and Bob Mackie. You know, I just see so much of myself. I was very ambitious when I was younger, but now not so much.
Well, even, you know, wanting to be ambitious, which is really that 10th house, but also doing something creative like design. You know, my suggestion is that you really clear out your channel and just really ask yourself, what do I feel like doing? What feels fun? What feels exciting? What feels like a romantic notion? And just linger on it and see if there's something that you want to do with your time that will wake you up. Because I do think to initiate your own energy, it's through Neptune, meaning spiritually, creatively, even the energy of healing, you know, the fact that you have some health issues, get healings that actually work with your whole energy system. You know, a lot of times we just don't know what, because we're just in sort of some state of toxicity, you know, whether it's an emotional attitude or anything. It just start from go to the very fundamentals within yourself. Okay, I'm going to just imagine that my breath is releasing all the tension, all the confusion. I don't have to be anything, but what would I like to be? Start with a fantasy and see if it doesn't lead you to what you would be motivated to do.
Okay.
And also I'm sorry?
Oh, go ahead. I didn't want to cut you off.
I was going to say you have Saturn in the first house, so, you know, when you kind of get depressed or feel like you're held back, it could take a little longer than other people to release. You're going to have your second Saturn return soon, and that should be a real shift for you.
And when's that happen? When's that happen?
What degrees is Saturn? You know, this isn't a real reading. This is really just looking at your, people have to really look at things before they talk about them. But it's probably going to be sometime late next year you're going to start having your Saturn return, which takes about a year and a half. But it's great, because all the effort you put in your life, all your development, it starts to go on to another level at that time. And it really is a big shift. So just do the spiritual work now. Do the happiness work within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Especially take care of your nervous system.
Okay,
you know, make sure
next 6 months or next year that's going to in this.
But that's not the kind of show we're doing right now to talk about that. We're just really talking about Neptune. But you're welcome to go to my website and ask me on there for whatever I'm offering at the time, JoaniRossAstrologer.com.
Okay.
Okay, my dear. Take care. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Sure. Bye. Hi, you're on the air. This is Joni and Pat. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
Hello. I'm not sure that you're talking. This is Sandra.
I'm talking to you. Sandra, hi.
Oh, hi. Hi, Joni. Hi.
Sandra Kaplan.
Program.
Hi.
What a great program.
Thank you.
Yes, I found you on my computer and got you on my phone now. So I have a question about Pisces, and this is like a very silly question probably, but you know, Pisces is the symbol of Pisces is two fish, and.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the yin yang sign, there's a real difference, but there's also this connection between yin yang sign. And I'm just wondering, because I've never known what that symbol for Pisces means, those two fish. And I know that the broadcast, this is a lot about spirituality, and I'm curious to know the specific perception or attributes or characteristics spiritually specifically about Pisces. Can you explain those?
Well, in terms of the the Piscean symbolism of the fish. Well, you know, Neptune was the god of the sea, but I'm not sure that's why the fish. But I'm assuming that. I really don't know the history of why it's the fish. Maybe someone on here does. But it's you know, Pisces and Gemini, these are signs of duality, because it's really about the interchange of us and our environment, us and the other. It's all contained. You know, Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac. And it's a culmination of all aspects of a cycle and getting ready for a new cycle. So in some way, I think Pisces is like that. You know, a lot of Pisces I know, they get hunches about things. They know things. They don't exactly know how they know them. They just seem to have a lot of information. Were you asking about someone in particular that you are curious about?
No, I just know that this is a Piscean, Neptune and Pisces, that the program is focused on this particular astrological sign or element. I'm curious because I don't have anyone in particular, although I have two sisters that are Piscean. But I know that, and my experience with people who are Pisces is that there is this duality so spiritually I'm just wondering, because I've heard or I've read that Pisces are very spiritual and very intuitive, and so I was just wondering if you could talk about a little bit about their particular bend, their particular spiritual self. And I mean, I know that their rising sign, the moon, all applies to that as well. But
Right. But they might have other things too. The Pisces energy is the Neptunian energy, in sense that they are, well, Pisces is a mutable sign, so they are very affected by their environment. That, you know, they are, like you say, they have duality, but I think dual is way too limited. They are, you know, they're really chameleons of the zodiac. That's why you can see people that have a very strong Neptune or Pisces in glamour, because they really know how to create, you know, a different image, a different look, really understanding symbolic energy and how it manifests. And I think that Pisces are... Even if they're not very spiritual, you'll see something about these qualities. Either they're empathetic, or they are compassionate, or they don't really necessarily enjoy harsh reality. You know, I think if someone has a very strong Neptunian signature, like the moon in the 12th, you know, they might have had a mother that drank. They might drink. You know, just not wanting to deal with everything. And this is the problem. If you're a very spiritual person and you're really just focusing on reality, which is sort of the program that we grow up in, how to be, who you are, how to create your identity, what are you doing, you know, what do you stand for, da da da. And you have this whole other need to connect to something that is radiant and joyful and accepting, and also much more compelling than this regular world sometimes is disappointing.
Sure. Right.
So I think sometimes with people with Venus in Pisces or Neptune conjunct Mars or something, you know, there's always this ideal relationship that just doesn't show up in their life. Yes, they love the people, but there's always this ideal of what love can be, this kind of merging of souls, this soulmate thing, which is very nice. It's beautiful. But I think it could be called like a divine discontentment. So if people are focusing so much on their regular life, but they're very Neptunian or Pisces, then sometimes they just don't want to deal with certain things, and they don't understand why they feel disconnected. It's only from connecting to something that is substantially great within themselves or universal, or understanding that they have this ability to connect to the collective, this all, you know, the universe itself, which includes everything. That's when they start to feel happy. So I'm not saying Pisces aren't happy people. They can be very happy people. But I'm just saying this could be an issue that would be helpful. Because one of the imbalanced Neptune qualities is escapism.
Oh,
it can
I
be
see.
Also
okay.
being a little deceptive, illusionary. You know, it can be that.
You mean,
and
you
one
mean
great
with
channel. Sorry?
Being illusionary or deceptive with themselves or with other people or both?
Both. I think it's both. I mean, I think that sometimes you just don't realize that you're not happy because something seems missing, but you aren't even looking for it because it just doesn't seem like it's anywhere around because you're not focusing in the way that really makes a difference, which is your inner world.
Okay. I see.
And, you know, doing prayer, you know, prayer doesn't have to be based on a very concrete religious belief system. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. It's just your own connection to something that's with you. And it's really your higher self, your greater self, or your connection to everything. And once you realize that there's a common energy that's flowing through everything and that you can tap into it, right away your vibration elevates. Right away you
right.
can feel you're really here because you chose to be, or you it's good you're here, and you can inspire other people. Right away you can operate on the level that really is a vibration that you do relate to. Rather than...
How wonderful. Right.
Yeah. We all have Neptune. You know, we all have Neptune somewhere in our charts, but there's... Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead,
I'm sorry. So Neptune can be in a placement other than Pisces, or is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the last people that had it before now were in the 1900s.
Okay.
1800s.
Okay.
1800s. So, no.
Okay.
It,
because of the... Cyclical,
because it takes so many years for it to go around the sun.
I see. Before it's in its own placement, correct? For Neptune is actually in Pisces. It takes all these cyclical...
165 years.
Wow. So when Neptune is in Pisces, right? It
mm-hmm.
is. So everything is accentuated, like much more like under a microscope for that person, everything within their life and externally. Does it mean that there's just more movement or more some type of more transformational process happening?
No, I don't think it's really saying that it's more movement, no. It's more about an ability to connect. The transformation is more Plutonian. The transformation is just you really processing some aspect of your nature and letting it go and moving into something else. When you're talking about a chameleon, this is just an illusion. But the connection is the real issue with Neptune. It's the unconscious, the collective unconscious that you can tap into. And your own deep, deep, deep self that isn't invested in your identity here. That's much more than that. So, but all the outer planets are about this transformation in some sense too. But it's the processing of it. You know, with Uranus,
okay.
it's about letting go of what isn't working in order to create a new trend. And then Neptune is using the wisdom and using the connection. So, you know, since Neptune, last time Neptune was in Pisces, a lot's changed. But hopefully every cycle we go into another level, and as a species on the Earth, I'm sure we're looking forward to some elevation of our understanding of who we are and what we're capable of on a mind spiritual level, how to open up our consciousness to make it conscious. I mean, Here Be Monsters, which is Gwendolyn Barry's station, and she sponsors our show. Thank you, Gwen. It does a Neptunian career, being called a blender, making all these essences and oils and mixtures based on very spiritual cultures. And this is called the conscious. Is it Gwen? Correct me. The consciousness choice is the greater name for it. So. And I was saying before, I don't know when you came on, Sandra, but talking about how often we're all using that word now. How often? You know, think about it. If spiritualism, okay, well, people just don't go to dust, or they don't just go far away to heaven. They somehow are around, just in another form. And now we're going into this perception of we can connect with the time continuum. We can connect to our eternal self, our greater self. We can connect to the cycles of our own existence and really be reflective in such a way that we can accomplish great healing, great awareness, you know, much greater use of our own consciousness. And I'm thinking that's what's going to be the new Neptune factor. So we were, I don't know when you came on, but anyway, there's one other caller. I'm going to take that.
Okay.
Thank you for
thank
calling.
You so
love
much,
you so much.
Thank you.
Okay,
love you.
Take
Bye.
Care. Hi, you're on the air. This is Joni. What's your name?
Hi, Joni. I want to give you my birthday so you can tell me how Neptune affects me. It is February 15th, 1966. I was born at 11:43 a.m. in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Springfield. What's your name?
Corrine.
Hi, Corrine.
Hey.
Okay, sorry. Have you had your chart done before?
Yes, it's been a little while. And I don't think I actually knew at that time what time I was born when I had it done.
Okay. Well, for one thing, you have a lot of planets in Pisces. Mercury, which is the way you think about things, creative thinker. And right conjunct your Mercury is the asteroid Pallas Athena, which is also about art, the arts and wisdom and truth. And then you have Mars and Saturn in Pisces as well, and Chiron. So you have a lot of Piscean energy in your house of career. What is it you do?
excuse me, I'm a writer, and I sell energy products.
Beautiful. You also have Jupiter on your ascendant and Gemini rising, which is, did I look at your chart a week or two ago?
You know, I don't remember, Joni. I can't remember if I called this show or not.
Okay. That's really the communicator. And of course, do you write fiction or nonfiction?
Both.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Mars Saturn gives you this drive to work and work and work. Are you a person that doesn't rest when you're working ever? You
yeah,
just keep.
That's,
go-
Yeah, I just keep going.
It gives you a tremendous amount of energy, and maybe energy, especially if you're, you know, because you have Pluto right opposing that and Uranus. Yeah, you have a big, you have an awful lot to express in your life to help people learn, to change things. Yeah, and you said that. And what?
I said I try.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And then you have Neptune in the house of work. So, and you said you sell products for health or is it beauty?
Excuse me. Well, they're actually purple energy plates.
Purple energy plates. That's so Neptune-y. That's great.
I know, right? they're harmony. They're also called harmony plates, healing plates, based on Nikola Tesla's theory of free energy. So it's along
cool.
those lines.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, you're really using your Neptune in your work, that's for sure. And did you have a question in mind when you were asking about this, or just?
I guess I just want to know, you know, how my life might play out with all this going on. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, Neptune right now has already gone over your Mercury. So I hope you've gotten a chance to really do some contemplation on new ideas, because they're going to come. They're going to kind of rise up from the depths of you. And that's very cool, especially you're already so innovative and interesting. And then when Neptune gets to Mars, Saturn opposing Pluto, that's going to be a bit of a different story. So I think it's really important that you prepare yourself to do spiritual work now, and to not let yourself get way too confused. Rather, understand that it'll put the effort in. Don't necessarily think results are going to be there in that instance, but they will happen because the growing is tremendous.
Oh, good. Good. I know, because sometimes, you know, Joni, do you ever think, like, sometimes, well, you know, maybe I know a lot, but then lately I've been like, I really don't know a lot. You know what I mean? But I thought I did.
Well, maybe.
Well,
that's interesting that you're saying that, because sometimes you get an impression about something and you realize it's not clear to you yet. And that makes you feel like you don't know a lot. But knowing is, you know, if you think of knowing as opening a channel, I want to open more. I want to understand my own inner world. I want to listen to my own soul's urge. And I don't have to know a lot. It's not about my ego. I have to be open to knowledge.
Right.
I think you could just turn it that way, and it's going to feel right away much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do know a lot. I'm sure you have a tremendous amount of understanding of many things. But what is relevant to what you want to do now, I think this is going to be fresh. Because Neptune, first it went over your sun, and then it went over Mercury, and it's still doing that whole thing with Mercury and Pallas Athena in your house of career. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, purple plates are the, like, the least interesting thing you're doing next year.
Well, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, of course it will be. And you know what that's like to be cool, I'm sure. You know, the good thing about Aquarians is they're so good at things. The bad thing is they don't necessarily have a big ego.
So
be careful with what you say to yourself, because you don't want to be in this negative ego.
Right.
There's no reason for that. What you're doing is you're pursuing whatever you're led to do by your own life. And that's a great honor, to have a life and to be led by your own willingness to experiment and try things other people necessarily aren't doing yet, and risk, you know, there's all kinds of ridicule when we're out there, right?
Yes.
So
we shouldn't
you know,
be ridiculing ourselves.
Well, it's very limiting. It kind of lowers the vibration immediately.
Right.
And it also hampers. Like, I don't think you're worried. There's too much to worry about you hampering all your ambition. I don't think that's going away too soon.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you haven't had a clear vision of what you want to do, it might be very frustrating at times, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the clarity will come. It's the impression that you should follow. What does that mean? You know, if you need more time alone, or if you need to journey in some way, or retreat in some way, for the purpose of development, that's all leading to the next, you know, the next thing, whatever that is. And even the journaling of the confusion can be so enlightening.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And you know that already. Yeah, you have a very cool chart, actually.
Thanks.
And, you know, the Moon in Capricorn is serious. You know, you don't want to be just a spaced out person with the Moon in Capricorn. Not knowing.
No.
No. But take care of yourself. You know, make something stable so that you feel like you're taking care of that. Because you already have things going. It's just a matter of what's next? Is that what you were thinking?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, I'm not sure, you know?
Actually, that's a good place to be, even though it seems like it isn't. It's a good place to be in the sense that it will come to you. Especially if you don't artificially create something. I'm just not sure. That's okay place to be, as long as I'm being true to my own seeking and my own development. I'll be sure when I'm sure.
Right, right. Yeah, I think I will be when it comes. You know what I mean? I'll know. But just waiting and just even like looking forward or expecting anything, but just being open, like you said. You know.
Yeah, I mean, how much someone else has to tell you, I can't imagine anyone else having to tell you too much about what it is.
Yeah.
The thing is,
right.
Get yourself in a place where you can really honor the process of creativity, of your own spiritual design, what you want to do for yourself, your workout, as they say. You know,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, meditation, working out, walking, nature, anything, whatever it is. But if you feel like it's important to you and you need more information from your own consciousness, then devote yourself to your practice, whatever that is, for a while. I always think
right.
It's good to go back to the basics. I just want to know more. I just want to learn more. I want to be sincere. I want to figure out how I can be my best. And then your life knows already, so it's a pretty interesting, it's simple in a sense. It just feels complicated when you don't believe that you can actualize your own higher self. And I don't think that's the problem, right? That's not your problem. You're not...
You know, well, as you said that, I thought that is my problem. I mean... I guess I'm just not confident about it, you know, or something, I guess.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that confidence could easily be arrogance when you're talking about spiritual work. So, again, don't grade yourself right now. Just give yourself the opportunity to be available to development, to prayer, to creative work, whatever that is. And determine it's going to emanate from my life because that's what I've determined. My determination is to grow. You know, it's like this is my time to be really productive. So I'm not going to doubt that even just sitting and journaling, not even for money but for myself, is what I need to do.
Right,
For my own, you know, for my own quest and for my own offering as a person helping others. So, yeah, just don't doubt that. The confidence kind of comes to us after we did something sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But the confidence that we're not going to give up, that we can know.
Right, right.
I know.
No,
I'm not,
you're right.
I'm not giving up. Are you?
No, I can't give up.
And you wouldn't if you could. I mean, let's call Saturn Mars opposing Pluto Uranus what it is. Nobody could get you to give up. So, you know, don't worry.
Yeah.
You're going to be great. And it's good to talk to you. I think I did talk to you before.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to remember. But I appreciate it, Joni, and I'll keep everything you said in my heart, and I'll remember.
Okay, great. Take care.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, everyone, I think we should just give you the call. You can call me in my office if you want to talk to me, which is 561-330-4040, or you can find any information you like on my website, JoniRossAstrologer.com, and I would love to hear something about what you got today or didn't get today and have a comment. Also, I'm happy to make people's horoscopes for them, and when I write the moon messages, I always offer to give you the place where the lunation is in your horoscope and that planetary energy in your natal chart. So between what's going on now and how you were in your natal chart, everything's always relative to your natal chart. You can kind of put these things together a little bit because nothing is isolated. So please get in touch with me. I would love that. And meet you back here next week. Right, Pat?
Yes. Same time next week.
Under the Moon with Joni Ross and Pat McHugh. And again, we want to thank Here Be Monsters, Gwendolyn Barry, for her amazing support to the Under the Moon team. Take care, everyone, and thank you for calling. Thank you for listening.